On the Investigative Journal, and my guest this hour is A. Truat, and A. Truat has been with me before. It's been a while since we've talked to him, but he's brought an incredible story about his personal encounter with the LDS Church. He was a he went on a mission. He was involved in his church and found out some things that contradicted what was going on, what the hierarchy of the Mormon Church was telling its parishioners. And A. Truat, for that, has been persecuted by them, excommunicated, and his story is quite interesting. There are many new things going on in his life, and I wanted to get right to him. A. Truat, how are you today?
Greg, I'm doing fantastic. It's a pleasure being on your show again, and thanks for the opportunity.
And I want to get in, you've written a book about this also, we'll get into that. But tell us, I guess we could start out, just refresh our memory on your story about what happened with you and the hierarchy of your church, the LDS Church, and also how you found out there were connections to the Vatican that go deep in the history of the Mormon Church. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Greg. Yeah, like you said in the introduction, I'm as Mormon as you could possibly get prior to about 4 years ago.
Okay.
I served a very successful LDS Church mission, as most young boys, and now to a greater extent, young women are now asked to serve for 2 months and 18, or 2 years and 18 months. And I did that as a young lad at age 19, roughly from 1978 to the fall of 1980. That was my 2 years. I served in upstate New York, a place called the New York Rochester Mission, and those of you that are not familiar with Mormonism, that's really where it all began, where Joseph Smith allegedly had his visions, received the mythical gold plates. I say all this tongue-in-cheek now because I've come to a full turnaround. I've got to publicly declare this is all just a grand delusion. It really is a wonderful story that anybody... and everybody that wants to believe in supernatural means and deity, yeah, they want to believe that. The human soul wants to believe that God speaks to a young boy, and anybody can have personal revelation. You know, that's kind of a universal thing, I think, in the human consciousness. While I was on my church mission in upstate New York, I was actually spent some time in the bedroom community of Syracuse called Baldwinsville, New York. And while there, we had a landlady who was a devout Catholic woman, just a saint. I got to tell you, we thought the world of her, all the things that the extra little nice things that you know, sweet single ladies do for young boys that they like, okay? Her brother was actually a Jesuit priest in New York City, and we were able to meet him on a number of occasions, had some in-depth discussions in his position.
Can we hold that?
Yeah.
I want to pick up right there. We're going to take a short break, 3-minute break, come back. Let's start right with where you left off, back after this short message.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal. My guest is Atru Ott, and we're discussing what happened to him when he started to find out really what was going on in the LDS Church. We're at a point where he's 19 and he's on his mission, and he meets a Catholic woman in upstate New York, and her one of her relatives is a Jesuit priest. Go ahead, Tru.
Yes, that's correct, Greg. It was her brother. He was an elderly gentleman, of course, celibate and single. And for whatever reason, he seemed to really kind of gravitate to this young 19-year-old boy named Tru Ott. And over the course of some late-night lectures, he filled us in on a lot of the information he knew and was privy to from the archives of the Jesuit order that were in these vast libraries located in New York City. And he explained that his job was a recorder of sorts, that they would kept detailed records of virtually everything that went on with the Jesuit order, which of course a copy has, according to him, remained there in their archives. The copy went to the Pope in the Vatican, and of course, he said one report was given always to the Jesuit general, who I think we can safely say is called the Black Pope. Okay.
Okay.
I got to reemphasize that in every way, shape, and form, I think that this lady named Mary and her brother were extremely honorable and good people. I had nothing at all to say derogatory in any way about their Christian attitudes and values. Okay, I just looking back on my experience, you can do many things right, but for a wrong reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what why I've decided to kind of come forward publicly. In many ways, it's tough to tell the truth. As George Orwell said, you know, in a time of universal deceit, when you tell the truth, it's a revolutionary act. And, you know, I got to tell the listeners that in many ways, the Mormon Church is universal deceit. So anytime that somebody comes on to tell the truth about it, golly, they're castigated as a revolutionary nutcase. And that's really unfortunate, especially when you look at the national political scene where Mitt Romney is gaining steam and could very likely, you know, become the Republican GOP nominee for president. And don't count him out, because he is an extremely charismatic, extremely gifted, extremely wealthy individual. But you know, I want to come on to and explain what I know to be truth. This is not conjecture. This is not sour grapes. This is not a person that has done a grievous sin that wants to get back for being corrected. That's not true at all. I want to make that very clear. When people come forward in the Mormon Church with knowledge of truth and things that are not as they appear to be, okay, the tried and true method through excommunication is to discredit them and make them appear to be a backsliding evil sinner, okay? And in the minds of the devout, that's usually good enough to discount their message, and that's really very unfortunate. I said this many times, and I'll say it again. The LDS people as a whole are good, honest, hardworking people. And my beef is not against them at all. I am one. I was one, I should say. That's my culture. But I got to say to anybody that will listen, there is a very, very devious, a very complex form of mind control operating within the LDS Church. I'm going to throw that out as truth, and I hope in the next 45 minutes to be able to validate and verify that incredible claim.
Okay, and I want you to do that. And you start where you believe it's important. If you want to go back to what you learned from that Jesuit priest or from other things, I know that you have some deep family history also that brought things to light to you from some of your people in your family. So go ahead, Drew. You make the decision where to begin.
Okay.
Prove your point.
Well, you know, the best place to start out is my experience on my mission. I was called to leadership positions within the mission hierarchy. I was called to be in progression, a district leader, a zone leader, and eventually an assistant to the president. And the Mormon culture, Greg, is a hierarchical structure is very, very important, especially in the male ranks, which, of course, this is a male-dominated priesthood hierarchical structure. The higher your calling in Mormon culture, the more you're perceived as being, you know, on the top of the food chain, so to speak. And so I'm proud to say that I, at least on my mission, I was part of the top food chain. I was very successful to, as far as converting individuals to the faith. We had a number of very, very, I would say at the time they were miraculous type of experiences. I was specifically assigned in 1978 to work on the Hill Cumorah pageant. Now, In upstate New York, right around the town of Palmyra, there is a hill called the Hill Cumorah that, according to Mormon tradition, is where the golden plates were buried in the side of the hill. The angel Moroni came, according to the story, and eventually gave these plates to Joseph Smith, which then became translated into the Book of Mormon. That's really the basis of that makes Mormonism unique, a whole new set of scriptures that are completely talk about the Christian ministry of Christ and the apostles on the American continent, as opposed to the old world, the Holy Land. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's in a background explanation. The Hill Cumorah pageant has been ongoing since the 60s, actually, or maybe even before that. It's a grand pageant basically telling the story of the Book of Mormon in America. What my specific role of influence there in 1978 was I was basically in charge of security around the Hill Cumorah, where we worked with a private group of security guards, I guess you could say. The Highway Patrol was deeply involved, the New York State Troopers. With the production of that size and magnitude, you can imagine the anti-Mormons that were kind of extreme would try and do a lot of things to disrupt that if they could. But I was amazed at the high level of sophistication of the equipment that was brought in to run the pageant, as far as electrical sound and wiring. We're talking about a semi van that's just loaded with what I perceive to be very sophisticated electronic equipment, from complex soundboards, motherboards. The wiring was a literal jungle. Okay, as they hooked into the pre-wired connections at the Hill Cumorah. And I say all this because at the time I thought, wow, this is really quite an extravagant production. I was concerned because even with my clearances as supposed director of security to work with security forces protecting this expensive equipment, I was surprised that when I went into the tractor trailer van, I was immediately escorted off the premises. I got too deep inside of the heart center of what really ran the pageant. But I made enough. I saw enough, and I made mental notes. And I, as a good Mormon missionary, I did write in my journal, my missionary journal. I was just questioned about some of the labels and tags that were on the equipment. It said the property of Brookhaven Labs, Long Island, New York. And I made notice of that and thought that was, I wonder what the heck Brookhaven Labs was. Was it a church-owned facility? Who were they to provide this sophisticated equipment to the Hill Cumorah pageant? Well, as time went on, of course, I fulfilled my mission. I came back and was married in the temple, as all good Mormons are counseled to do. We began to raise our family. I graduated from college and went on to get an advanced degree in the field of nutrition. And all along, the way, as we were going through the cycles, many nagging doubts kept creeping in. I hear the music coming on. I guess we'll
True.
Take a break.
Let's hold it right there, and we'll come back right after this short message with Truot on the Investigative Journal.
coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out, laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Took out a kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with my guest, A. Truat, and we're talking about how he was a devout Mormon, how he found out that the hierarchy of his church was actually sold out to Rome and the Vatican. Also, we're talking about satanic worshiping going on in the temple in Utah, and how he was then excommunicated for trying to get at the truth. His family is deeply rooted in Mormonism, and boy, the story just is getting better and better as we go along here, True, because this is just one of these stories of how you came to understand what was going on in the hierarchy of your church, which so many other people need to do, and then how you were persecuted for it. Go ahead, continue.
Well, let me just emphasize and clarify what you just said, if I could.
Okay.
On our prior calls, I reported my experiences with individuals who claimed to be part of covert satanic rituals in the temple. I got to emphasize that I have not personally witnessed such darkness. I personally believe that there are individuals who believe that's going on. I don't give it 100% credibility because I have not personally witnessed that, okay?
Okay.
Those individuals that I have interviewed, I got to tell you, are believable from my standpoint, but by their very nature, they can also be classified as psychotic. So, you know, there's both ways, okay? In my book, Free at Last, I delve into that somewhat, telling them about experiences with people that I've interviewed and videotaped. But the smoking gun with that is an internal memo put out by, at that time, presiding Bishop Glenn L. Pace, entitled A Satanic Ritual Abuse Within the Church. So, I mean, of any document, that really shows there's something not right, okay? There's something amiss there, but that's a lot of speculation, honestly.
Well, you know, similar to the people I have interviewed that have witnessed satanic worshiping inside the Vatican, and basically, personally, I've not witnessed it, but I do give some credibility to the people that I've talked to and written stories about it. So, in a sense, you must act as a journalist. You bring forward people, and then the document you just talked about seems quite credible. Go ahead. We understand.
Yeah, so, I mean, I personally would like to believe that's not happening, but then again, I'm not so naive to believe that it cannot possibly be happening. I want to just make that clear, okay?
Okay.
But what we can talk about today is what I do know, what I have personally witnessed, and what I have kind of connected the dots, if you will, and now get a kind of a clear picture, and we can talk credibly about that.
Sure.
And I would publicly challenge any Mormon or person that knows a Mormon to review this testimony, my testimony, and to demand answers to repudiate what I'm saying. If what I'm saying is not true, there should be documentation, okay, to validate it, and just open the doors, if you will. You know, the Mormon Church, like the Vatican, is secret. You know, it by its very nature, you know, there's mysteries that abound that the devout member is not given access to. That shouldn't happen in a church that is truly the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as far as I can understand in his writings and the New Testament and other places, he was open and honest and transparent in everything he did. He said, I have done nothing in secret. In secret have I said nothing. So why then do we have mysteries and secrets in these organizations that claim to be Christian? That's my first point, okay? The second point is simply, you can go back and review the historical record of what I'm going to talk about, and you'll see that it's absolutely valid. So don't just discount what I'm saying. Check it out yourself, verify it, and then make the judgment, okay? When I really first started to put the pieces together, I was active in temple attendance. In fact, my wife and I were, there's a term in Mormonism called being called to a position. We were called to a position of a temple endowment workers. And we had this position in our 30s. I mean, we were very young. Most temple endowment workers are elderly, 50 to 70, you know, age bracket. We were very young and ready and willing and able to do the work, and we wanted to. We were in the process of memorizing. Of course, everything has to be memorized in the temples verbatim. You cannot deviate one iota. Even an A or a the is forbidden.
Well, listen, we're going to take a short break here again, come back for our final half hour, and we're going to get into your story in depth right after this message on the Investigative Journal.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Okay, we're back for our final half hour this Thursday on the Investigative Journal. My guest is A. Truat, a excommunicated LDS member, and we're leading up to why he was excommunicated. Go ahead, True, tell us your story.
Well, yes, Greg. I began to question and think too deeply. Is the nutshell reason why they had to boot me out? Here in the getting the temple endowment nomenclature, the wording memorized completely, it came as a real surprise and shock when, out of the blue, the very much of the basic endowment was radically changed. Okay, maybe I'm a little strange. I try to think logically and everything, okay? And the logical flow of that really bothered me, bothered my conscience, in fact, bothered my very soul. Because, you see, it's very simple. It should be obvious. If something is completely right, and in the Mormon culture, it's supposed that the temple is the highest ordinance revealed from God directly to Joseph Smith himself. The prophet Joseph Smith, according to Mormonism, reported in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith specifically that the temple endowment wording is sacred. It is never to be changed. never to be altered. And he went on to write that if it is altered, then whoever alters it is in a state of high apostasy. So here I am, enjoying being in the position of an endowment temple endowment worker, and suddenly everything that we held to be sacred was revised and changed. And we're talking about very, very basic, rudimentary things in the temple endowment. Okay.
Okay.
So I began to question, well, golly, what's the reason and background for these changes? If it's sacred, should we not mess with it? And the bigger problem is simply this, a logical flow. If it was wrong to begin with, then it doesn't matter how many times it's changed, you see. So either way, there's a problem. Either way, there's a real logical dilemma.
And how did you learn that? How did you find out there was so many ties to the Jesuit order and the Vatican to the creation of Mormonism, and still to this day, the hierarchy bowing its head to Rome? Go ahead.
Well, again, the ties to the Catholic Church were explained by the Jesuit priest, the recorder who shared all this with me. Basically, the whole origins, the true origins of the Book of Mormon. He had an incredible in-depth knowledge of where the actual story, the story of Lehi and Nephi and all of that came from. And I kind of filed it away with a little, you know, asterisk. Oh, well, that's interesting, but I don't believe it, you know?
And where did it come from, for our listeners' sake, if you could explain it quickly?
According to the Jesuit priest, he says that in the 1600s or thereabout, a group of Jesuits priests came up from the Florida area, along, exploring the Mississippi River and Missouri River deltas. It came up into the area of approximately Ohio right now, and there they located a unique band of Indians. They were white skinned, Caucasian, okay, and they had a unique writing history. They knew about the flood, all the biblical stories. They knew full well. He taught them and had a written language. According to what he told me, that they actually, that the Jesuit priests that were there as missionaries were just amazed, and they began over about 5-year period to make a detailed written record. Again, they wrote this in Latin on scroll material, and they recorded that this Indian tribe was under constant attack from other neighboring dark-skinned Indians. There was a kind of a race conflict, evidently, and they were eventually attacked and wiped out when the Jesuit priests were there with them. They were also killed as being part of the white-skinned or Caucasian race, right? But they were able to store, put up away their scroll material in a cave, rock it up, and there it remained until the 19th century and the early 1800s. When, according to, again, the Jesuit priest told me, it was uncovered by a man named Solomon Spaulding. Spaulding didn't understand Latin, couldn't read Latin, but a school teacher there in the Ohio area named Sidney Rigdon did, and actually had helped him to translate it into English, and they went to publish the story in a book called Manuscript Found, according to what the priest told me, that it gained the attention in Pittsburgh of the Jesuit order there. They notified Spaulding, hey, this is not your property. It belongs to the Vatican, to, you know, the Jesuit order specifically, who financed, you know, the mission. And then, long story short, they were able to successfully gain the manuscript and thus store it away there in the archives in New York City. Again, this is a story told to me by this Jesuit priest. I wanted to see his proof. I wanted to be able to go to New York City and to view the documents he spoke of, but of course he said that is not possible. They're not open to outsiders without express pass by the Vatican and or the Jesuit general. So, I mean, it was, so at that point it was all hearsay to me. I'm a young, idealistic believer, programmed into the, to believe one way, and so I discounted it. But again, in subsequent experience, I found that that has a lot of credibility, and I do now believe it to be a whole lot more real and true than the story that it came from some gold plates, okay?
Okay.
And that's a whole other hour interview to tell you why I know that to be true now. But anyway, getting back to the main thrust of what I wanted to talk about today is simply beginning to question the changes led to severe disciplinary repercussions. I was not disfellowshipped, okay, but I was put on what was called I was disciplined informally without being actually told you were being disciplined. I was relieved of all my church assignments and callings, was told ostensibly this was just to give me a break, to relax a little bit, that I was taking things much too seriously. I needed to back off and relax a little bit. But, you know, that bothered me because, really, that's a form of mind control. It's a form of peer pressure and domination, and that didn't sit well with me to be relieved of a responsibility because you question something. Okay, then I gotta tell you, we had about this time the church finished up the massive conference center in Salt Lake City, and this thing is massive. It's big or bigger than Madison Square Garden. It's just a huge, huge building dedicated to religious service. And I was the ward and stake pianist and organist. I did a lot of work with Southern Utah choirs. And so I was just really excited to get an invitation to go before it was officially dedicated and open to review the uniqueness of the conference center organ. And so I went up there on a special invite, was just amazed at the complexity of this organ. It was built and designed by a Jewish firm out of San Francisco, we were told. And what was told us with reverence and awe was this organ was so incredible because there are actually over 60 tones that it gives out that are inaudible to the human ear. And I thought, well, that's strange. Why have an organ that plays tones that you can't hear? And I asked the lady doing the guide that was showing us the complexities, why that was important. And she said, this is directly from Gordon B. Hinckley himself. There are important tones that are not heard by the ear, but are heard by the heart. What she was just telling me is that there are electronic devices perfected now that are at play within the church conference center, at least that speak and actually cause emotions to happen without the person being aware that it's happening. Okay? Mm-hmm. What she just explained and what I came to find out to be true is there is extremely dastardly and covert, I use those words very carefully. There are techniques happening within the Mormon structure to generate strong feelings of emotion and to actually get them to think in lockstep in one specific way. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show the equipment that was the property of Brookhaven Labs out of Long Island, New York. Quite recently, I've interviewed a gentleman, an author, by the name of Peter Moon. Peter Moon has written books exposing what went on in New York and Long Island at a place called Montauk and the Montauk Project. In his first book, entitled The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time, Peter Moon details the role of Brookhaven Labs in developing very complex mind control electromagnetic equipment. He details in the book, and I've talked to him a number of times on the phone, the whole Brookhaven Labs experimentation began with Dr. von Neumann, a Nazi scientist that was brought over under Operation Paperclip, began in 1948 at the end of World War II and was culminated with convincing scientific equipment now in the year 1967. In 1967, Congress report was given to Congress on this project. It was called the Phoenix Project or Project Phoenix. It was under the direction of the OSS, which then became the CIA. When Congress was appraised of what was going on, Congress said absolutely no. Why? Because obviously they were concerned that if people could be programmed with simple electronic devices, what would stop men that were in charge of this operation from programming Congress? Okay? This is in the Congressional Record, folks. You go back in 1968 and search the Congressional Record, you'll find it. Congress, from that point, it became adversarial with the CIA individuals that were, in fact, tied to the Brookhaven Labs. Okay, and it became under Dulles. Of course, in that time, we lost JFK earlier in the 60s. Alan Dulles was, you know, it's been a renegade, basically, a situation ever since. I would refer the listeners to learn more about this. In 1979, ABC News did a documentary on this very thing. It's called it's an hour-long documentary. It's called Mission Mind Control. You can Google up in any search engine. Just type in Mission:Mind Control, and you'll get a number of sites that you can download them and watch this incredible report. It seems like, you know, 1979 and 1980, the media did a lot more objective reporting than we see now. But the point I want to emphasize is simply this. I know for a fact that the scientists at Brookhaven Labs utilized equipment for the Mormon Church, and at least the Hill Cumorah pageant, if not other pageants for the Church. I'm here to tell you that the exact same equipment that is referenced in Peter Moon's book from Brookhaven Labs was in fact utilized on the participants and the people that came to view the Hill Cumorah pageant. One of the side effects of this technology, according to Moon's research in his book, is simply that it creates an orgone sort of electromagnetic field within about a half a mile square radius, which effectively keeps any storm fronts, any thunderstorm or rain clouds from penetrating that orgone shield. I'm here to tell you, I witnessed for two years, two different pageant productions. You know, the Hill Cumorah pageant in upstate New York is staged in the summer months. When I was there, it was in August. And that's the monsoon rainy season in upstate New York. But I tell you, it was just it was quite interesting to see and to witness how you could drive half a mile north, south, east, or west from the Hill Cumorah and be in torrential monsoon-like thunderstorm situation and yet have literally clear skies, stars shining right in the Hill Cumorah pageant region. Okay? It's tied, folks, to the Brookhaven Labs technology. I know, I witnessed it, I saw it, and it has tremendous implications on the future of America, I believe. I'm going to get into that in the final segment, if we could.
Yeah, let's do that. We're going to take a short three-minute break, come back with A True Ought after this short message.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Okay, we're back for our final segment of the Investigative Journal, and I did want to mention this, that A. Truatt is my guest, and for questioning the hierarchy of the LDS Church, questioning the very roots of how the religion was started, the Jesuit order connection, the connection to the Vatican still to this day, and certain mind control techniques that are being used. He was excommunicated and literally his life threatened, and we've documented that on other shows. But I know you want to finish up with your thoughts, so go ahead, True.
Well, thanks, Greg. I just want to refer the listening audience to Dr. Nick Beekes' book, Controlling the Human Mind, the Technologies of Political Control. I don't know if you've talked at all with Dr. Beekes, Greg.
But yes.
Have you had him on your show before?
Oh, yeah, and he's been on my show many times, but go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the ties to what he's saying in this latest book can actually, when you cross-reference them with the Montauk Project and the declassified documents in the Phoenix Project, you know, it starts to make sense because both books and the research I've done, Brookhaven Labs references a rather large controlled group to study. Okay, well, if that's accurate, if those documents in the 1960s are legitimate, what large group could he be talking about? Okay, would it not be a group that could be controlled and studied and mapped? Are we talking prison population? Are we talking a church? You know, I would submit that it would make a lot more sense to do it in a controlled situation where people are not incarcerated, okay, that they can interact with other people and they believe that they are free. Now, you know, Goethe said it best, didn't he, when he said, "No man is more hopelessly enslaved than he who wrongly believes he is free." The implications of this, as Dr. As he said in his book and in his radio interviews, is simply, you know, what are we looking as far as an Orwellian society, as far as having everybody mind controlled to the point where they lockstep and goose step with the leader? Okay, where is our individuality? Where is our freedom? Where is our ability to determine our own destiny? Okay.
Yeah. How can people get your book, Free at Last?
They can get it online. They can email me. I'd be happy to send them a totally free copy. If they don't have computer access, I can get them a CD-ROM. My website is my email is atruott@msn.com. That's T-R-U-E-O-T-T.
True. That's how we can get your book, Free at Last. And we're all out of time right now. I really want to thank you for coming on the show. And we'll have you on again. And I'll talk to you sometime in the next few days. I do want to maybe put your book on my website so that people can see it. Would that be okay with you?
Happy to do that. Again, I don't want to make any commercial gain or venture on that. I want to get it out for people to disseminate at their leisure, okay?
Okay, fair enough. That was Truott. Thanks for being on the show.
Greg, thank you so much, and God bless.
Okay. We're all out of time today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place on the Investigative Journal. Until then, good afternoon.